also, there is a fundraising breakfast this Sunday that we want to talk about as well. So we're going to circle back on that as soon as we finish a few other things here.
Like, you want to hear the weather? Is that what you
want? Yeah, I want you to tell me it's going to be, you know, kind of sunny at some point.
Well, at some point, it's really going to be beautiful. Right now, today, we have a high of 37 from the National Weather Service. We have a 60% chance of showers likely. Tonight, 50% chance of showers with a low around 33, which could mean a little bit of snow, but probably not. Patchy fog. Tomorrow morning is the last cloudiness. Precipitation at 70% on Thursday night. And then Friday, here's where it gets good. High of 54, Saturday high of 59, and high on Sunday of 62. But the big picture is it's sunny all the way across the screen, and that means sunny.
Yeah.
So, good news.
That's the kind of spring we want to hear about. Okay. A couple other things going on outside. The sun now is rising at 6:21, although actually dawn starts coming about 5:30 now, which is nice for those of us that like to wake up in daylight. And the total day is now almost 13 hours long, which means we've gained 25 minutes of daylight over the course of the past week as we're getting closer to our summer solstice now in June. Every day is a little longer.
No one's complaining about that.
Still good skiing at Schweitzer. They had 6 inches of new snow just yesterday. I think there's a little bit more called for in the next day. So
are the lifts open?
Oh, heck yeah. Okay. The skiing is really quite good. It's a good spring skiing up there. I went up there and did some field testing myself on Sunday.
Good job.
And I want to mention one other thing happening in the outside. If you like to see the ospreys, and we have an osprey cam in town here.
Are they back?
Actually, an osprey has been spotted in town.
Yay!
However,
there's something else in there.
There's something else in the nest.
Breaking news.
Yes. Yeah, there's some geese up there.
Oh. We have an imposter.
Yeah. Oh. They're squatters is what they are. And the geese will not build their own nest. So they go around and they find other nesting places. And osprey nests are often one of the things that they put their nest in. And it's questionable. At this time, the osprey could come back and challenge them. They do, if they'll leave the nest for a little bit, the osprey can get in there and get the nest. But the reality is they're probably going to be there till their goslings hatch, where it'll be 3 or 4 weeks. At which point the osprey still could get in there and have a season. So at this point, it's a wait and see.
They have in the past.
They have in the past.
Yes.
So do they then use the geese nest, or do they rebuild a whole new nest?
Well, the osprey have a high nest fidelity. The same pair come back to eat a nest each year. But there's usually a bit of a skirmish between other ospreys that are looking for a place for a nest. They like to start with a nest that's already built, but they will build a nest if they can't find one. But some years they don't even nest because they can't get an appropriate place to do it. So we'll see what happens with this pair. The nest watchers, there's a chat online if you go to the webcam, and they have named them KO and KK, and if those two come back, they will come back to this nest. And we'll just see what happens. A little drama up there.
I have seen ospreys build 3 times in one season.
Oh. Mm-hmm.
Wind would blow off. And this is when they do it in the trees, when they build it in the trees instead of like that post.
Yeah. So, Chris, how do you get to the osprey or the cam?
Well, it's provided by Sandpoint Online. If you go to sandpointonline.com and scroll down the page a little bit, you'll see a picture of a goose with some words on it that says, not an osprey. Click on that and you'll go to the osprey nest cam.
And it's live.
And so it's live, yeah. You go there right now and you can see the goose hanging out. I don't have it up on my screen, but or maybe, who knows, maybe there's I'll check while we're talking.
Okay,
here,
okay.
But we have other things to talk about today.
Yes, what?
We want to talk about Lost in the 50s. Again, we have with us Carolyn Gleason, the founder, and is still going strong, and as well as Rob Manelski. And Rob, your role, how would you describe that?
I work for Carolyn.
Okay.
We all work for Carolyn.
Foot soldier.
I'm a foot soldier, yes.
We If we didn't have volunteers, we would have nothing.
That's right.
Sandpoint would have nothing. I would have nothing. They call themselves slaves. Yeah. Well, they have to be sold to get rid of them.
I prefer indentured.
We'll do a shout out. You can always use more volunteers for everything from helping flag traffic to setting things
up. And that is something, and I won't speak too much about that, but... we're losing a lot of flaggers this year, so we may need flaggers. So
yes. Okay. Well, if you want to chip in, I'm sure there's some work involved, but it's a lot of fun as well.
Yeah.
To help put off this event. Yeah.
Anybody that wants to volunteer, you can go to lostinthe50s.com, no apostrophe, and there's an info email in there. You can write me a little note, and we'll see what we can get you doing, but there is, as Carolyn said, there's plenty of room for folks who flag.
It always, with a nonprofit that's supporting a community. You know, we've been aware of Lost in the 50s. My son was little, he's 38. We used to bring him down to see the cars, but I don't know a lot about, and a lot of our listeners don't know a lot about the history. And Caroline, you've been involved for a long time.
Well, I created it as... a fundraiser, actually, for the festival at Sandpoint, 1986. People go, really? That far? Yeah. And then they count and they go, oh, well, no. We've actually, if this would be our 40th year if we wouldn't have had COVID. However, that kind of took that out. I did parking lot parties, invited people from Spokane, Coeur d'Alene, wherever, come drink beer, eat pizza. It worked out. Mm-hmm. There was quite a few people. But
so you started it. What was your model? How did you come up with the idea?
Well, as anybody, it's very hard to raise money. I mean, early years, the festival was doing, and I was associated with them helping. They would do fundraisers, and they were losing some of that fundraising. And so they came to me. I tried to give them the idea of Lost in the 50s. They said, 50s has been overdone. We don't want to go that direction. They came back and asked me if I'd be the chairman. And I said, no. And they said, why? And I said, no, I don't know how to raise money. I hate to be that person that's always got her hand out. Anyway, I finally said yes. And it was all about the music in the beginning. All the people that were in the Northwest were not always original artists. And I wanted to see the original artists come to town.
50s.
Yes, 50s, 60s. Yep. And now, you know, mm-hmm. we edged into the 70s. Mm-hmm. But Lost in the 50s, people say, well, 50s, whatever. And I go, wait a minute. Lost in the 50s is just a name. It is a feeling of that era of music that came about. Elvis Presley, you know, Johnny B. Good with Chuck Berry. I mean, it started that whole, you know, boost of music.
It was the birth of rock and roll, really.
Yes. Yeah. So it was like, that's where it began. So I was sitting at home. I had surgery or whatever, and I started recording all my albums on cassettes. Oh my God, how old am I, right? So I would make one, it's 60 minutes, and I'd go, oh, I still have more records. So I'd make two, then I'd make three. So I called them the Thunderbird series. And then I got to, there was a Ronnie Millsap song called Lost in the 50s Tonight. And I went, that's what I'll call it, Lost in the 50s. And it just kind of, you know, it just evolved out of my brain and my music and that kind of stuff.
Well, it was perfect.
So I got, I went out and I tried to find two people that I knew that had lots of hits. And our first year we had Bobby V and Del Shannon. And let me tell you something, between the two of those, and they're both gone. Bobby turned out to be a very good friend of Lost in the 50s, always. We talked yearly all the time. That's how it started. And we, 3 days before the event, I went and pitched the whole thing to the festival. And they went, and I said, okay, you have a chance of losing $7,000, $8,000. They're going, then why are we doing this? And I said, what you had wasn't working. Let's try this. And if you don't want to do it, I'm willing to back off and just say goodbye, and it's okay. 3 days before the event, my insurance man hadn't gotten my insurance, and I'm screaming at him, going, no, I can't do this without insurance and all this stuff. Anyway, the night came where, and we only did one night, and there, the car thing came along because I went, what goes with rock and roll? Hot rods, T-Birds, 57 Chevys, you know, all of that stuff. So we did do a car show that first year. We had 26 cars, and I had to go beg people that lived here. Dude Sledeger was one. That's not going to be a name that most people are ever, you're going to go, who the heck was that? But anyway, there were lots of people that had old cars.
Ralph's dad?
Yes.
Okay, yeah. Ralph Sledeger's dad. Okay.
Yes. He had about four of them in his garage, and I went, dude, bring them down. So I got my friends Sally and Bill Transuth and Mike Mahoney and Terry Mahoney. They helped. We did this little car show. We made funny little plaques, had something wrong on it. I think that it was a T-shirt place that did this for me. They put the wrong date on it. We didn't find out until we got them just the night before and looked and went, oh, well, they'll never notice. So and I called up the Autoboat Speed Show people in Spokane, and I said, who was your big kahuna, you know, the big winner of the show? They didn't call it a grand champion. Anyway, I found out her name. Her name was Terry Cable. It was a 57 Chevy. She lived in Montana, not very far away from us. So I went, I'm going to call her up. I'm going to ask her to come and be our guest. And we were, do you know where the Vintage Wheel Museum was?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. The parking lot there. Yeah. That was where we had our first car show. And all the cars were right
there. It's where the McDuff's Brew Hall is now.
Yeah. Yeah.
Did you have a parade?
No.
Okay, not yet.
No, we didn't. But were we silly and were we
Well, they probably cruised downtown.
Oh, though. We did.
Yeah.
Mike Mahoney, Dan DeShawn. I don't remember. They called it the Hog. I think it was a Lincoln Continental. They put a speaker on the back of it, played music, and I wasn't involved in that particular part of it. But they were going through town with cars, you know, with pom-poms, Letterman sweaters, and all that stuff, talking through the microphone, going, come to Lost in the 50s, yada, yada, yada. Anyway, there was probably about four or five cars, maybe. But that wasn't a parade. That was just dragging the gut, as they would say in the old days.
Mm, yeah.
So that's kind of where it started. Mm-hmm. And nobody, you know, Aaron, we hadn't really sold a lot of tickets until the last minute.
To the concert, the show. And where did that show take place the first year?
Bonner County Fairgrounds, which is where we're still at.
Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah.
It's the only place you've got lots of parking.
Yeah.
You got a lot of dance floor. There were all kinds of dances and so forth in Sandpoint. The Elks always had I don't know.
Friday night dances.
They did snowballs and that kind of thing. And all of that had kind of disappeared as well.
So was there a moment in time from the first year, your little beginning, to, we should do this again next year?
Oh, no, there wasn't.
You just knew you were going to keep going.
No, I didn't. Yeah. I was sweating bullets that we had only sold like 300 and some odd tickets. And to make it, I had to sell
more
at least
that.
600 tickets
to
make blah, blah, blah. Well, we did. And it was like...
People loved it.
People loved it. And it was like, oh, my God. Where'd you people all come from? I don't know if...
Word of mouth.
Yeah. It was like instantaneously, it was like somebody drove up into the parking lot and went, wow, there's a lot of cars here. I wonder what else is going on. Mm. And when they got in the building, they went, oh, they're here for this.
Right. Who was your first guest or your first musical?
That was Bobby V and Del Shannon.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah. Yeah.
Fantastic. And what a group.
And when I called this company and asked if I could get Del Shannon because I already knew where to get Bobby V. I'd already done my research, et cetera. And she says, you can't afford him. And I went, don't tell me what I can't do. Tell me what I can do. Anyway, the first entertainment cost me about $7,000. I don't even want to begin to tell you what it costs now. Mm-hmm. Because now you have airfare. Now you have everything. And everything is...
contracts.
Oh, all
kinds
yeah.
of stuff.
It's nothing like the first one.
Mm-hmm. All right.
And it was magical. I mean, it was truly magical.
So it takes a lot of revenue up front and at the end and through the process to keep this thing going. It's changed.
Our first car show, like I say, we begged. I got the winner of the Autobot Speed Show. She still brings her trophy because she did win the grand prize that year. She still brings it to this day. She didn't come for a few years, and I kind of worried about her that, you know, she says, oh, I had to raise kids, whatever. Anyway, it had a camaraderie, and it was just different. We never charged anything for the first year. We gave away ribbons and dash plaques. No money was exchanged. The following year, which you asked me if I was going to do it, I had no plans. But after the weekend was over and we made money and gave it to the festival, I'm going, whoa, yeah, this is great. And it did. It kept growing. Mm-hmm.
So the festival in those days, was it still a purely classical music concert series?
No, because Gunther Schuller
actually was the music director at the start, and they started, what, 6 or 7 years earlier, I guess?
Four
years earlier,
yep.
Okay. Because they started out as kind of aiming to be like a Tanglewood, where it was really just about classical music, but then they started to...
Wasn't he involved with Tanglewood?
I think he was.
Yeah.
You're right, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, the festival... began putting in more rock and pop groups like they have today.
Yeah. I did guest artist hospitality on the field for 21 years.
Oh, yeah.
I mean.
Yeah, going way back there.
I don't do anything in small bits.
So if you want to know about the Lost in the 50s, we've got the right person in the studio today.
Yeah,
Caroline Gleason.
I don't want to tell you all the stories,
no.
but
you know, I would like to just say thank you because what Lost in the 50s brings to our community, not just in revenue for this or that, but it's established now as a really fun family oriented kind of thing.
Yeah. Well,
and if folks have not been, and by the way, we should mention it is May 15th to 17th this year. And if you have never been to Lost in the 50s, come check it out because you'll be amazed. There are literally thousands of people in the street. First Avenue, Second Avenue are blocked off, and Third as well. There's
parking lots, everything.
Parking lots. And Rob, how many vehicles do we get?
Last year we had 425. We've had in years past over 600.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's shooting for 600.
What we're doing this year, we're looking to sell out. Yeah,
yeah,
yeah.
So when a vehicle wants to have a spot to put their car,
they register
and they pay.
Yes, they do.
Okay.
It wasn't until the first year what they didn't pay. The second year we grew double to that 26. We were somewhere in the 56 era, and then all of a sudden we were at 150 something on the third year, and I went, I got to have money.
Sure, because you have to have infrastructure.
Oh, yeah.
And the city and the...
There's expenses.
And some people said, you can't charge them. And I go, watch me. Yeah, I can. I'm going to have to. I can't give this stuff away. Through the years, we've changed. We do a street dance for the kids.
Oh, yeah.
And
that's free.
That is
really
yeah.
nice.
That's important to me because if you don't teach your kids at... from, I don't know, 4 and 5 and up through the teenage years. Teenagers had never had a street dance around here, yet there were street dances.
Yeah.
Okay? So if you don't get them this small and get them up to the teenage years, you lose them into whatever the abyss goes for teenagers. Mm-hmm. So to have that street just blocked off for them and all the music going. It has turned out to be miraculous for kids, I think.
It's not just for kids, though.
No,
it?
The adults are, well, because it's free.
Yeah.
Okay.
Because we remember street dances.
I have grandmas and grandpas that will take down their grandkids. I love all the pictures. And a shout out to Bashful Dan. Bashful Dan did it for me for 25 years. 25 years he did the street dance.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah, he is an institution.
He was. And, you know, I could have never carried that on because we grew into two nights later on with 50s. I did Rock and Roll Heaven at the Panada Theater. That was huge because I started looking at the fact of how, and the reason why I started to begin with is, if you lose all these icons and you've never seen them live, that was my first premise. But then I went, what are you gonna fold into? Well, impersonators, and they were good. Oh my God, they were good.
Like cover bands,
like tribute bands,
tribute bands.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But these guys doing Elvis and Jerry Lee and oh my God.
Some of the tribute bands out there are just about as good as the originals. Yeah.
As I lost my main, you know, we've lost some of our main core, like Paul Perry. He was always there. He always did lip syncs. We've lost all kinds of people. John Knowles, who is an institution in our school system. We just lost him. He was part of his, when he was teaching shop, we were struggling getting a stage and so forth. And I said, John, I need a stage. Will you build it? And he says, if you let me build it the way I want to. And I went, what the heck is that? And he was teaching his class, which was shop, but how to build a structure like a house, like the by 2x6s, you know, running the stringers and all that stuff. I said, I don't care as long as it can hold up for whatever. And we're still using that same stage.
What hits me, Caroline, is that you had a vision. You brought in the right people. That really makes a difference. Like all that you just mentioned, friends, but it made a difference. And it continues because as it grows,
because
more people.
Because those people realize what community is. What giving, what doing means. Mm-hmm. When we start losing these people, which we have, I had to shave back what we could do because trying to get new people in. Now, there's some great people downtown that are doing things these days. And there was a lot of time in there that there was nobody leading the drive or anything. Mm-hmm. So I don't want to misconstrue that downtown doesn't put out because Leilani and all the girls on the bridge, I mean, they work their tail feathers off for us.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm.
Well, it's kind of a segue there I sense on getting volunteers because we have one, Rob. And the way I'm looking at this is you're the music gal and he's the car guy.
Bill and Sally have been doing the car show for ever until...
For 36 years.
Yeah, two years. And Bill has had some health issues, et cetera, and can't do what he's normally done. Sally's still totally involved. Sally is our bookkeeper, and, you know, she goes, give me the money.
Yeah. So there's always underground.
There is. But here is the man who is going out there... Last year, I'm yelling, there's somebody's transmission fluid. It's going all over the... You know,
and so there's the car show, and then there's Lost in the 50s. And the car show part of it has been handed off to Rob.
Well, sort of.
Sure.
I still build the trophies. I still do, you know. Mm-hmm. I haven't let him do everything.
No. Well,
but he's a doer, and he's a car guy. And, you know, I went to him. We used to do goodie bags for the cars.
Oh.
Our 20th year, I went, I'm not doing that anymore. So I told my group, I said, this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to give away embroidered stadium blankets. And they just looked at me and says, and where the hell are we going to get the money to do that? And I said, I don't know. Anyway.
Where the heck?
So
sorry.
So how has it been, the transition, Rob? When did you start? When did you take over this aspect and really kind of become a Carolyn's second-hand man?
So Carolyn asked me 3 years ago, when Bill was starting to struggle a bit. She said, can you help Bill? And so I didn't figure no was in there anywhere, if you've ever looked her in the eye when she asked you a question. And so I said, sure, whatever that means. I consider myself caulk. Caulk does two things. It fills the cracks and it fills the voids and it keeps stuff from falling through the cracks, right? So that's kind of what I do, just whatever.
It's kind of major infrastructure.
Oh, he's more than that, but you're a lot more than that.
But no, I've enjoyed over the past couple of decades, I've hosted a lot of shows. As she said, I'm a car guy and just love the opportunity to do what we can for this town. You know, I've been coming here for 20 years and just love the show. And living here, just realize how much, as you said, Chris, you know, it's thousands of people come downtown for this event. And it's really what kicks off summer. And I don't want to see it go away.
Event itself, and in conclusion with everything, I think means more to this town, not as a fundraiser, that how it started was what it does in our community as a whole with the economic impact, period.
Oh, yeah, it's a big economic booster.
Get to hear the young people and kids go, a street dance is just my favorite thing. I wait for it all year. Oh my goodness, what am I going to wear?
Well, it's also the music. I don't care what anyone says. That was some of the best music ever. Right, Chris?
50s music, yeah.
50s, 60s, 70s, you know.
Yeah.
I'm from the 60s.
I gotta say, you know, Susie shared that she took her son there when he was little,
and
right?
I
took my son, and now my son brought his daughter.
Your granddaughters.
My granddaughters.
Kate at the Hydra. I was talking to her last year, and I'm asking her if she'd be a sponsor, that kind of thing. And I was talking about the street dance, and she says, wait a minute. I was one of those kids. And I went, oh, my God.
Yeah.
You know, now she takes her kids. So it is. It goes down.
Generational.
Your generational stuff.
Yeah. And then there's a parade. I mean, everybody, right.
Oh, it's...
It's huge.
Forgive me, but I think it's just as big as the 4th of July.
Yeah. Oh, I think there's more... Yeah.
It's probably more cars. Definitely more cars.
Yeah. And fun cars. Yeah.
And it starts at the high school parking lot, and it goes through town. I mean, it goes through housing, part of our neighborhoods, and people have barbecues. They have signs that they rate the cars.
Yep.
They're yelling and clapping and screaming.
And that happens on Friday.
That's when the
cruise and parade is happening. Yep. Let's run through the event schedule real quickly, because we may have a listener that's not that familiar. So the event starts on May 15th. There's a welcome party at Connie's Cafe. There's live music and a beer garden, and everyone's invited.
Yeah. That's
right.
Yeah.
The more the merrier.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then you have a guest this year, kind of a new thing, I think, right? You got Dennis Gage, who has a program called My Classic Car.
That's right.
And he's going to be on hand all 3 days. Tell us more about him.
Yeah, so Dennis has been recording shows and doing appearances this is his 30th year. He won't be filming at our show, but he will be here, as you said, Chris, he'll be here Thursday night at Connie's. He'll be sort of our pseudo grand marshal of the parade on Friday. And then he'll be here all day on Saturday telling stories and taking pictures and walking around and talking to folks at the show. So Dennis is really well known. I had a chance to meet him at Walla Walla. And part of the reason I think we're going to sell out this year, he took that show that was, you know, sort of declining a little bit in numbers and sold it out the year he was there. And that was 700 cars.
Yeah.
So we're looking forward to seeing him here.
About actually hands-on fixing up old cars. I'll tell us more about his program. I'm not familiar.
He does more car shows And he loves to talk to people about the stories behind their cars.
Mm-hmm.
He loves it when people have built their own cars, or a father-son or a father-daughter, or a grandfather and the grandson, those kind of stories. And then this year he's actually going to pick a car, and we're going to give one car a special award.
No, okay.
For Dennis's pick.
Okay.
So, yeah, we're looking forward to having him here. He's got a lot of history, a lot of knowledge about cars, and he's just a really fun guy to talk to. Mm-hmm.
Well, I just wanted the listeners to know this is 88.5 KRFY. This is your independent, commercial-free community radio station, and we're here with Carolyn Gleason and
Rob Manelski.
Yeah, I didn't quite get the last name, so I couldn't say it. But
there could have been a toboggan involved. But yeah.
We'll talk about that later.
We're talking about that later. upcoming May 15th through the 17th, Lost in the 50s. It's iconic for our community. It's a big deal. And we have an original and a new person here talking about it. So I have some great music queued up in case you want to take music.
Well, I'll tell you what, let's talk a little bit more about some of the events, and then there's a ton more to talk about. But to get back to what happens during the event, May 15th, that's the welcoming party, and that's a Thursday. Dennis Gage will be in town, and you get a chance to chat with him. On the 16th is when things really kick off, because you have the car parade and the cruise, and that starts at, is it 6?
6 o'clock. Yeah. All the and it truly is supposed to be, let me just say this, everybody gets all kind of twisted about, why can't I put my 2005 Charger in there? Well, that's not what it's all about, boys and girls. Anyway, we start at the high school, and we leave there at 6 o'clock. And it goes down Division, and then you turn up on Cedar. It's always the same parade, the same thing every year. And then it cuts over on Forest, and then it goes all the way down Church, and then it comes all the way back up on First, and then all the way back up on Cedar.
Yeah.
Yep. And there's anywhere from 800.
There's 800 cars.
800 cars. Oh, yeah. Sometimes there's been more.
Yeah. Yeah.
Now, we moved that parade around also. In the early years, we did not have traffic control. I put 29 people through traffic control, paid for somebody to come up into my restaurant and teach us how to be flaggers. Well, we did flag for a couple of years, and it just got too big for us. And the state said, you need to be real. You need to get the real people in here. And that's, that,
so one of
course,
the costs.
And a lot.
Yeah.
But that's okay.
It is.
Those people do a job that, let me tell you something, it's not the easiest thing to stand there and try to say, no, you can't do that.
Right.
I'd rather pay those people to take that on than,
And the state's involved because you got to cross the actual state highway.
Right. You shut down some major corridors, and like Carolyn said, Joe and the team, they do a great job for us.
They've been with us for years. They're
awesome. It is a significant expense, part of the show.
Yeah.
So there's the cruise and parade at 6, and then after that.
And that goes maybe until 7:30-ish.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Depending on how long. But I don't ever get to hang around the parade. I always have to go out to the fairgrounds.
Well, if you volunteer as a flagger, it's one of the best ways to see the show, actually. It's because you get to see all the cars from one place and they all go by. But the folks actually start lining up at the high school at about 4 o'clock, and it's a great place to see hundreds of cars and meet some
right
really
there.
Interesting
go to the
people.
High school and just walk around and check
walk
out
around.
The cars. Yeah,
and I got a shout out to our friends at the Injectors Car Club.
Yep,
They're the ones who coordinate and lead all that off for us.
And they have donation buckets for us there, too.
Okay. They do a great job.
We don't charge for the parade. It costs us for the parade, but we don't charge. And there's a very good reason. I won't go into all the details, but I just feel like it needs to be free.
Mm-hmm.
Even to the car people. The car people come. They spend their money all over town. They spend their money to get in the car show. They're spending it in the shops and the hotels. Show them off.
Hopefully you're breaking even and making a profit for the... Is it still dedicated to profit to the festival?
No.
No,
it hasn't been
that
since...
Changed. Okay. That changed. They have their own thing going
on. They do all...
Trying to make this event self-sustaining.
It has been self-sustaining for since its 11th year.
Yeah. So that's the street party that happens right after the car parade, and that's at Jeff Jonestown Square.
Yes, is that right? That's the street dance. Yeah. Yes. But and it's done by Terry Owens now.
He's one of our broadcasters.
He is. Yeah. And he's absolutely wonderful.
He would be the right person.
He stepped in when we were losing Dan. And I will just tell you, I think he's terrific.
He is. So, I agree.
And you are totally involved. Yeah. So, and then there is the first concert that night, right?
Yes.
And I don't know if you're ready to announce
it because I haven't put it on Facebook yet because I don't.
Breaking news, folks.
Breaking news. Okay. So most normally it's always original artists. On Friday night.
That's okay. We like the song.
I know. It's 50s.
That's a ringtone in the background, folks.
Sorry.
But it's on topic.
Yes, definitely. So this year on Friday, probably 30 times out of 38, maybe 32 times out of 38, we've always had the same band. And let's give a shout out to Jerry Cedar of Rocky and the Rollers. They have been my mainstay band for almost forever. I mean, we have had other bands, but I also get some of the greatest people, like the Righteous Brothers, 2 years.
That's right.
We've had Chubby Checker. We've had over 70 original guest artists come to this event. I wouldn't be able to do that quite as nicely without Jerry. I'd be a crazy person.
With Rocky and the Rollers.
Yes. Right.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And he's our drummer.
Band. Right.
Yeah. It's better than a backup band in
house
a heartbeat.
Band, we call it.
Yeah. But anyway, so they're coming for both nights. And Friday night, what I have is they're called Modern Gentlemen. They're four or five guys. I don't remember now. Anyway, they played with Frankie Valli of the Four Seasons for over 10 years. They range... All their music goes from Motown to doo-wop, Beatles, Beach Boys, you name it, they've got it. They're young, they're vibrant, they dance, they engage the audience. So that's going to be our main, they play Vegas, they've been on Broadway, they've done it all. PBS specials. I have friends who said, I saw them in Vegas, they're awesome. So that's going to be our Friday night. Rocky and the Rollers and the Modern Gentlemen.
The Modern Gentlemen. Yeah, and as you mentioned, they played with, I'm just looking them up here.
Yeah.
Frankie Valli and the Four Seasons.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. Oh, boy.
And Frankie's 90-something, or 90 years old, so, you know. Yeah.
So who's Saturday night?
Saturday night? Oh, I'm totally stoked about Saturday. I'm stoked about Friday as well, but I have been trying to get, our 25th year, we had Peter Noon of Herman's Hermits. Tried to get him for the past 7 years. He plays 300 dates out of a year. And he's amazing. He's just an... year three, when Bobby V came back, I asked him, who do I get? Who would you suggest I bring to Sandpoint, Idaho? And he says, first thing out of his mouth was, if you want the best, get Peter Noon.
Wow.
That was... my third year.
So he was actually kind of Herman, right? In Herman
yes,
and Hermits.
Yes, exactly, yeah. Exactly. On the 25th year, and he's funny. He engages, again, with the audience. The audience was up. I mean, you can get up close and personal at the fairgrounds because you can stand right at the stage. Mm-hmm. You know, we have a big dance floor, but you can stand right up the stage and just watch everything they do. But he's humorous. He sounds good. He sang a Louis Armstrong song. I shut my eyes on that 25th year and went, I'd swear that would be Louis Armstrong. And I couldn't figure out how a Brit could sound like a black Louis Armstrong and do that song. It was just like, oh my God, you are terrific. So it's taken me 7 years to get him back. I had to book him in October.
Yeah. Well, that's a big win right there.
It was a very big win. And everybody.
Does he travel with a big band? Or
he brings his own band. Uh-huh. Yeah.
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 That's Mrs. Brown, You've Got a Lovely Daughter.
Yep.
One of his hits.
So, okay. Well, that's the two concerts, yep. Friday and Saturday. Yep. Yeah, and then on Saturday.
And I will say, the concerts are what make us the money.
Right.
If we can fill, you know, we don't even have to fill the house. We need to fill the house, more than what has happened in the last couple of years. Mm. I've done some incredible shows out there that people just, if you didn't know, and Darlene Love was one of them. I don't know if you know the name, but when she, after she went, after the time here was over a few years ago, she got every accolade you could possibly get on the East Coast. Mm. Hall of Famer.
Yeah.
The whole night.
Chance to hear some of these, top-ranked musicians.
It's right pretty amazing. So, again, thank you for putting it all together. But, you always want to say it takes a lot of infrastructure to make these things happen and fundraising, right? So we have an April 6th fundraising breakfast. It's with the Selkirk Association of Realtors.
That's this Sunday.
Okay. You want to talk about that a bit?
Yeah. Well, hold on. I want to finish off the schedule.
We didn't get through the schedule.
So, because Saturday is really the big day for the car show.
Right.
It is. And hundreds of cars. We don't know how many hundreds yet, right. But we'll be all around the downtown.
Put this in little piece of paper. Rob says 600 cars.
Okay.
Carolyn says, on the record.
Yeah. Carolyn says 535, maybe.
Okay.
So we're making a bet here.
Yeah, sounds right. Like it.
Right on the air.
Okay. All right. That sounds like
I'll buy dinner.
Oh, dinner. I was just a beer, but dinner is
okay.
Even
we'll invite you. We'll go out for beer then. I'll buy all the beer if I'm wrong.
Okay. What happens if you're right? Folks.
Yeah. If I'm right, you buy all the. Well, you'll have to buy the Cosmos. I don't drink beer.
So Rob says 600. Carolyn says 535.
Okay. And we went from beer to Cosmos.
Well, I don't drink beer.
Wow.
I'll let you drink anything you want.
You are expensive.
I know I'm an expensive date. Don't tell anybody else. God.
So Rob, fill us in on the car show. I mean, what's obviously people just come by and cruise by and see the cars, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah. And I've noticed that these guys that have these beautiful vehicles that they spend a lot of them do the work themselves. A lot of them may hire it, but they every car has a story.
Every car does have a story.
Yeah. And these guys, a lot of them like to tell their stories. Yeah,
they do. Some of them put it on a little board in front of the car. But it's so much fun to talk to folks. And again, that's a lot of what Dennis does. He draws the stories out of people. But you'll find if you walk past and show any bit of interest in anybody's car, they're more than happy to talk to you. And I have some cars with some stories, and just like everybody else,
he's got beautiful cars too.
Oh yeah.
A short little story, Mr. Jack White. He lives in Spokane. Comes every year, brings absolutely the most gorgeous cars. One year he brings this, and I can't even remember what kind of car it is.
Well, you'll have to.
It's the one with the TV in the back, and he lowered it to the ground.
Oh, was that his Cadillac, the black one?
No. It was a two-tone. Anyway, so
Jack's had a lot of cars.
Had a lot of cars, and he's had them all here. Anyway, this particular car, I'm out at the fairgrounds. I get this phone call. Because now we have cell phones. Back then, I had to buy walkie-talkies way back when. But I get a call from the restaurant. I'm thinking something's gone wrong. And the kids that worked for me at that time goes, that car, it's in our parking lot. And they were just going crazy. And I said, what car are you talking about? The one that's on Street Rodder magazine cover that you've got sitting on your desk. And I go, oh, Jack and Susan. And they go, we don't know who the heck they are, but the car is sitting right in our parking lot. I said, well, go get the magazine and go out and ask him if he'll autograph it. So they did.
Yeah.
Pretty funny. I mean, they were just stoked because they saw my Street Rodder magazine, which we could go a long ways with that one too.
Yes.
But it was always my dream. If I could make it to Street Rodder magazine.
And there you were.
And we had Chris Sheldon here.
And we did.
Courtesy of my good friend Colin, we got
almost four pages of Lost in the 50s in Street Rodder magazine. Oh, wow. And I believe that was our 24th or 25th.
Well, it was 2010. It was a 2010 show. So that would have been, asking me to do math. That'd be 25, I think.
Yeah. I'm
going with 25.
So you've been involved, even though you've been hands-on with the thing, with the volunteering, but you've been involved for longer than that, Rob.
Oh, he's been coming here for, I think this is 20 years.
Yeah.
Yeah, always loved the show. And like I said, when the Queen asks here, you know, you can't say no.
Where were you living before you moved here?
So we lived in Western Washington. I worked for Boeing for 32 years, and we've had a place here since 06. Okay. And always love coming here, and my very best friend has lived here since 04 and had his business here, and so we've been coming here since then. And
lucky us, huh?
Yeah, yeah.
Just love the show, love what it stands for, love what it does for the town, and
we want to talk about the breakfast in just a second. But tell us about your cars.
Oh, well, I've got a little 40 Ford pickup that was actually my good friend's very first ride. Funny story there. The license plate I had on it said 26-year wait. Because for 26 years, I walked around with a check in my pocket with his name on it. It was signed with no amount. And every time I'd see him, I'd put that check down in front of him. And I'd say, you just fill in the amount. I want to buy that truck. And he called me up one day, 26 years later, and he said, Rob, I'm selling my truck, and you're the only guy that can buy it. And I said, buddy, are you dying? I'm worried about you. But I have that. I have a car I built for my dad, a duplicate of his high school car that he had pictures of in his nightstand since I can remember. Over 17 years, restored it in secret, and actually gave it to him at this show in 2010.
Oh, and
as
what
a surprise.
Is that? What's that
car? It's a 1950 Ford convertible.
Okay.
And then I've got a little 37 Ford Cabriolet. That's my summer daily driver. You'll see it around, a little black and red car.
Yeah, nice.
Very cute.
Run around in. Yeah, and a couple others work in progress.
My old cars were contemporary to being in high school. I had a 51 Chevy pickup. That's the one that has the curved.
Yeah, five windows.
Yeah. Which I loved. And then I actually bought a 54 Ford pickup that my friend's dad had started restoring, and had a cherry body, and the almost done rebuilding the engine, and that's the one I regret letting go, because I had, I was in college, I needed the money, so I sold it.
That's what happens to everybody.
Yeah.
In those
well,
days.
I will say my dad kept. I still have my high school car, which was a '67 Firebird convertible, which my dad graciously kept for me in his shop for 30 years.
Wow.
But I think he got the better end of the trade, because when I gave him the 50 convertible, he said, where am I going to park it? I said, where you have had my car parked for the last 30 years. So we did a little trade there.
Yeah. Yeah. That's great. So every car has a story.
Every car has a story.
Come check out the cars on that Saturday. And
one other thing, Chris, a couple things. So we are part of what's called the Hot August Nights event series. So Hot August Nights is a huge show in Reno, Nevada every year. It's upwards of 10,000 cars. Our show, one lucky winner at our show will be selected to be a finalist in the Grand Champion event at the Hot August Nights car show. So we've got one lucky winner at our show is going to walk away with a ticket to the big dance, so to speak. So we're excited to be a part of that.
So that's word you put out among car owners, I imagine. Right?
Yeah, it's on our website, and then they actually advertise our show up and down the West Coast as part of their media.
Yeah. Well, that's going to help get cars here. You're going to hit that 600, man. Carolyn, you might.
She's buying the beer.
I'm buying the beer.
She's buying the beer.
You know what? I'll buy the beer anyway.
That'll be a good day.
Okay, well, let's talk about an event that's coming up this Sunday, because it is a fundraiser for Lost in the 50s. It's an annual fundraising breakfast that you have, and it is at a little place called
Second Avenue Pizza. Go figure that.
And in case anybody doesn't know, that's your day job.
Yeah. Well, it's Spencer's day job right at the moment, but It's, you know, when you own something and you're doing something like Lost in the 50s, you can't go to everybody.
Oh, my.
Sorry. You can't go to somebody and say, can I use your building? Because they're going to go, whatever. You can tear up your own property. You can do what you want with your own building. Hmm. Now, I did that with a garden restaurant, but that's another story. And it wasn't mine, but I made it to be a hub. So
there are a few people around that remember the garden.
There are people. Yeah. That was another 21 years of my life. But this Sunday, we've done it about, Stephanie says we've been doing it for 11 years. 2 years were COVID, so you take two of that out of there, and this will be our
10-ish.
Ninth.
Yeah. It is hosted by the South Creek Association of Realtors.
And Stephanie Reef, she's the backbone of, we got started to do that.
We say thank you, Stephanie.
Oh, God, yes. Yeah. And she is also our parade queen. Mm-hmm. She heads up all the volunteers for the parade.
That is this Sunday. It's from starts at 7:30 a.m. If you're an early riser, get over to Second Avenue Pizza for that, and it runs till 12:30 p.m.
By, you know, all the people the crew that are there, and they're all volunteers. And we also have mimosas and Bloody Caesars to go with that.
Yeah.
If you want to purchase that, make your Sunday a little brighter. It's just fun. People come from Coeur d'Alene. People come from all over the place to support it. So
scrambled eggs, pancakes, potatoes, sausage, bacon, fresh fruit.
Yep.
Yeah. And it goes for a good cause.
And it goes to...
To make it all happen.
And we do have one other thing new this year, speaking of good causes. So we're doing a thing we stole shamelessly from the 2019 regatta when it was here. We're doing a thing called the Checkered Flag Package. So a dozen of our local favorite food and beverage venues have partnered with us. You buy a punch card, get 10 punches. The holder of the card gets 10% off.
And a companion.
Yep.
So for two folks. For a couple. Yeah.
Yep. Two folks get 10% off. You get 10 of those for one card at a dozen of our favorite food venues. And the proceeds for the cards goes to support the expenses of the weekend.
Yeah. So that's something new, and people will be able to get that card.
They can go on our website and buy the card.
Okay.
Just hit get tickets, and down at the bottom, you'll see a thing called the Checkered Flag Package, and we'll have some for sale the day of the show as well. Mm-hmm. And if you buy them early, you can pick them up at Connie's Thursday and Friday.
Of the weekend, yep.
Mm-hmm. Of the weekend, yep.
Okay.
We do have another fundraiser. It's not something that Rob and I are involved in. The Eagles did a fundraiser for us last year, and it was a bingo thing, and a bright sunny day. It wasn't the best day to be inside to raise money, but they raised quite a bit of money for us. I was there playing bingo with them. And trying to be the cheerleader, but the Eagles is doing, it's a car and bike rally. And
is this at the Eagles Clubhouse?
Well, it'll start from Sandpoint and Coeur d'Alene, and they're kind of going to mesh and end up at the Eagles here.
Okay.
All the proceeds of that, they're doing a barbecue cook-off type thing. They've got a dunk tank that they're going to dunk the fire chief in, I guess.
I think they should dunk the founder of the car show.
Wait a minute. I've done that. Okay. Jennifer Leedy and I have done that.
I have.
It's kind of scary, but I have. So that is happening. I believe it's May 6th. I don't have that particular...
Yeah, I think it is.
Yeah.
I think it's May 6th.
May 6th. Okay.
And they're gracious enough. They've got cars and bikes, and they're just going crazy.
And bikes as in motorcycles. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. That's another one that's coming up.
So watch for that coming May 6th. Again, on this Sunday, April, what is that?
The 6th
as well.
Yep.
Is the Lost in the 50s fundraising breakfast put on by the Selkirk Association of Realtors. Of course, the big show is coming up on May 15th through 17th. Go to the website, lostinthe50s.com, just like it sounds.
And you can
50s is not spelled out. It's 50S.
50 yeah, apostrophe S.
And anything, we got 2 minutes. Anything you want to throw out there in the remaining two?
I will say a big thank you to a few other folks we didn't mention. Not only the venues that have come and supported the Checkered Flag Package, but the owners of some of the larger parking lots in town.
Yes.
Have stepped up very graciously and allowed us to use that as parking show, parking area to fill the 600 cars that we're going to get here in Carolyn. But without, you know, it's another part.
Let me get my wallet out.
It's another part of the village that makes this thing happen. Yeah. And a big shout out to those folks for coming to our aid for that.
It does take a village to make this happen. You have been, Chris, a part of this for a very, very long time. I can remember going, will you put this on, you know, the website so they could print this? There's so many people. And it doesn't matter how big. It doesn't matter how small. Every bit of it counts. Every person who gives you $10, any person who gives you $100, they all count the same. It's very meaningful to me, anyway.
Yeah, it's a big deal. And again, you know, the Injectors Car Club, they do the parade for us, and then they come down on Saturday morning.
Park we all cars. Meet
at quarter after They've 5
been there
and
for
they park
us.
And park cars, yeah. And I've got a few other volunteers that help us park cars. The Dukes come up and judge the show for us, so it's just been a great show.
A ton of people.
And a lot of people that you never know that make this thing happen. Yeah. So thanks you to everybody that's involved.
Well, we really thank you for coming in, Carolyn Gleason and Rob Manelski.
Yeah.
And talking about Lost in the 50s, one of our great things that are happening here. Thank you for your service to our community. And you've been listening to KRFY, This is the Morning Show with Chris and Susie. And if you didn't get to hear this whole interview, we did record it. It will be a podcast on our website at krfy.org later in the day. And we hope you have a great day, right, Chris?
Yeah, you bet.
And thanks for listening. As always, we're going to go out with a song called, it's Bill Haley and the Comets from Rock Around, it's called Rock Around the Clock. And after that, you'll hear Bird Notes. Again, thanks for listening. Have a great day.
Your fan base is calling.